vegan market, Bucky's birthday party? Miracle. There you go.
Welcome to the Abracadam Podcast, and I'm your host, stand-up comedy magician Danny Whitson. Like always, Abracadamits, I hope you're getting stuff done, son, hitting the grind, meeting those goals I'm rooting for you. This past week was a good week, especially for my Tennessee Volunteers men's basketball team for winning the SEC championship, and I'm totally rooting for them to go all the way in the big dance. That's for you guys that follow college basketball. Hope you guys had a good St. Paddy's Day. I hope that was fun for everybody. This past weekend, I want to give a big shout out for some shows. Fantastic show at Fairfield Glades Resort, and then a fantastic show also at Ancient Lore Village Resort. Both those places are right here close to home. Ancient Lore Village is in Knoxville. If you're not familiar with this place, you definitely need to go online to ancientlorevillage.com. Check this place out. It's like the whole place is like a hobbit village. And you stay in these cool little huts, and they have archery, axe throwing. It's just a beautiful place to get away for the weekend. So I definitely cannot wait to get back there. But yes, fantastic shows this weekend. Other than that, it's been kind of chill. So, and I'm cool with that, absolutely, because we all need a little bit of chill time sometimes. But that being said, let's give a big shout out to our favorite barbershop and sponsor here for the Abracadam Podcast. This episode is also brought to you by the Grove Barbershop. Now, guys, I've been getting my hair cut at the Grove for a long time, and owner and operator Jeff Hackler is an awesome barber. And the best part is, all you have to do is just make an appointment. You go online to thegrovebarbershop.com, select your time, select the day, and then show up. You show up, everything is clean, organized, and it's just you and Jeff. He gets your hair cut, gets you looking nice, and gets you out of there in no time. So be sure to check out the Grove Barbershop located at 98 Randolph Road, Oak Ridge, Tennessee. Give Jeff a call if you want to at 865-482-2210 and make your appointment at thegrovebarbershop.com. All right, Abracadamits. Now, I'm very excited about today's guest because, first of all, she's a wrestler. So anytime you get a wrestler on the podcast, a professional wrestler, it's always cool because you know they're going to have some really cool stories. I also had the pleasure of working with her on the upcoming film WJHCAM, which is set to be out sometime this summer. She's actually one of the main characters in the film. So, anyways, if you will, Abracadamits, sit back and relax and enjoy my fun conversation with professional wrestler Roxanne Lane. All right, we got professional wrestler Roxanne Lane here on the Abracadam Podcast today. How you doing, Roxanne?
Fantastic.
I tell you what, now I just said your name, so they know your name, but if you don't mind, will you go ahead and introduce yourself to the Abracadam listeners?
Well, I go by several. It used to be Rock and Roll Roxy, then it was just Roxy. Then I actually went by my shoot name, Sheena Lane, but now I go by Roxanne Lane.
See, that is so cool, because the clip that I was watching, because I did go out and check out some of the YouTube clips, and first of all, you are badass. You're very, very, very good at what you do. I was seeing the Rock and Roll Roxy clips, you know. Now, it was Rock and Roll Roxy, was she a baby face or a heel?
Oh, both. Both. Everything in between.
And something else. You know, for the listeners who may not be familiar, in the land of wrestling, they've got their own jargon. They've got their own language. So, like, you know, babyface means good guy, and heel means the bad guy or bad gal. But now you said something else that sometimes I even have to go back and you said your shoot name. So what does that mean?
When someone says a shoot, that means for real. That's a real thing they're saying. Because, you know, there's storylines and in wrestling and predetermined stuff. But someone says, that's a shoot, brother. You know, that's for real, real life.
That is so cool. Now, okay. So now, where are you from, Roxy? Oh, Roxy, or Roxanne, sorry.
It's fine. It's fine. I shouldn't change my name so much. I'm from Salty Daisy, Tennessee.
Okay. All right. Now, one thing about being in Tennessee is Tennessee kind of does have a rich wrestling culture, you know, all over, you know, so it's hard. It's almost impossible to not see wrestling when you live in Tennessee. But how did it all start for you? How did you get into wrestling?
I was 17. Wait. Do you want the long version or you want a short
version? We got an hour. So what? Hey, whatever you want to tell us.
Okay, I was 17 years old and still living with my parents, of course. Neighbors moved in, and they become like family. They owned their own wrestling show in Fort Upthorpe, Georgia. And it was at the Winter Circle. It was a big old arcade, and they had go-karts and everything. But during the summer, they would shut down the huge round track, and they would put a ring in the middle of it and have a crowd. Actually, I think they had that in a building at that time, but then they moved it outside. Anyways, they were like, come down to the show. I was like, what's a show? Like, we have live pro wrestling. I was like, what? I haven't watched wrestling since I was like 13 and watching Stone Cold drink beer, you know? So I was like, okay. So I found myself going every single weekend and just loving every second of it and thinking, I need to be up there and I need these people screaming my name. So I walked up to one of the, you know, baby faces and was like, hey, how does one get started? And they're like, ooh, tall, pretty girl. Let's get her. So they started training me. I was actually training every single day for like 3 months. And they threw me in the ring too early, but it's all uphill from there.
So from the time you were 17 years old, you've been doing this?
Yes, I had my first match at 18.
Wow. And, you know, you mentioned like Stone Cold. I remember I grew up, you know, I was a kid in the 80s. So, you know, wrestling was, that was like the golden age almost of wrestling. You know, you had Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair, the Four Horsemen. And, you know, all those guys were like super, super top happening then, you know. And then of course, you know, there became the Attitude Era, which, you know, made wrestling super cool, super badass. So I've always been a fan, though. I've always been a fan of wrestling. I think that's probably, you know, the reason why I'm an entertainer today is because, you know, you were just, there was that other world that existed. You know, it's almost like what wrestling created is this other world. Now, but what's interesting for you is because, you know, growing up, you probably didn't have a lot of female wrestlers to watch. They were mainly all dudes. Now, you mentioned Stone Cold, but are there any female wrestlers that you look up to either then or now?
Well, Chyna was definitely one of those I looked up to. And then when I actually started training, and that's when I finally started watching wrestling again and fell in love with Lita and still in love with Lita.
Oh, yeah, dude. I remember there was just something super badass about Lita, you know, and she's popping back up too here lately. She has been popping back up, right. Which has been awesome. We were watching the other night and I was like, holy crap, it's Lita. You know, I was telling Antoinette, my wife, I was like, watch, remember Lita, you know, we're getting all excited again. she was great too. And yeah, you know, no doubt Chyna, man. Wow. You know, I remember first time seeing Chyna, I was like, holy you know, but first time I ever seen a woman, I was like, I don't know, dude. I don't know if I can whip her ass or not, man. She probably whipped my ass, you know.
Yeah.
But, no, that's awesome. That is awesome. So, I mean, and now I've seen some of your matches, which, like I said, you're really good at what you do. You're really good. You're not just – I mean, you're just not – sometimes you can see some sports – entertainment, and you can see where they'll lean on one way or lean on another. Like with females, they'd be like, well, she's a pretty face, put her in here and that'll sell. But no, actually, you get in there and you do skill, you know, you know what you're doing, you know.
Thank you.
How long did it take you to before you had the confidence to do some of these moves and things that you do in the ring.
I don't know if I have confidence now. I mean, I finally got comfortable, I guess I can say. I've really never felt confident. And all the vets have gotten on to me. It's like, Sheena, Roxy, you've got to be confident. You look great out there. Your body language is great, especially when you're a heel. But I mean, it took me years. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just not something you can learn overnight or stop learning. But it took me a very long time.
Well, and it's almost like, too, I would have to imagine that you have to have some type of, I guess, chemistry. Like, I know you have chemistry with different people, you know, in the ring. And, I mean, I would even compare it to, like, sketch comedy. Like, I've done some sketch comedy shows where I have to work with somebody else and we have to feed off of each other to entertain the audience. And with wrestling, you guys have to do the same damn thing. So are there certain matches are there people that, and I don't know if you can say this, but are there people that you would rather wrestle because the chemistry is just, you know, perfect, great?
Yeah, kayfabe is dead. So I'll talk about anything and how everything goes in wrestling. Yeah, there's definitely people I don't want to be in the ring with and people I definitely do want to be in the ring with. Mostly, I mean, I've got some good females that I would love to wrestle anytime, and I've got more males that I'd rather be in the ring with because I have more chemistry with them.
Gotcha. What do you enjoy doing better, Roxanne? Do you enjoy being a babyface or a heel?
Depends on my mood, really, because I love kids. I love children. They're just pure hearts, you know, and the way they think is fun. No, but if I'm in a bad mood and I've had a bad day, I love being heel.
So it's like, it's kind of like an extended version of yourself then. Is that
very much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's true. You know, like when I'm on stage, I'm me, I'm myself, but I'm an extended version of myself, you know? So, and I, you know, kind of like that. That's why I love wrestling so much, because there's so much similarities in the world of entertainment, especially the grind and having to work an audience. How long did it take you before, like, you got comfortable with the audience interaction? Because some of these wrestling fans, they are like die hard crazies, man. Really, they are. Some of them are just, I mean, they die hard. They're a certain type of breed of people.
Yeah, which reminds me, we'll go back to a story, my first adult show. To get comfortable, I would say year and a half to 2 years. Because my first show I had was, of course, the show that I started going to. I was training there. My very first match, I had it at a completely different show. And like, if I go back and watch it now, you could tell I was this little shell of a teenager, and I wasn't like outgoing and reacting with the crowd. But the more I learned, the more I traveled, the more shows, more people I met, I finally got comfortable with interacting with them and just eating it up. Cause I love comedy matches and I love doing comedy. I'll do it every time. If I could just come up with new comedy every single time, that's all I would do, especially nowadays that, you know, I've done it for so long and I can't really bump as much. Comedy is my thing, and like making someone laugh, I would do it all day long.
It's definitely, well, I gotta be honest, that's definitely it's a good drug, FYI. So
yes,
it's definitely a good one. Now you mentioned bumped. That's like getting hurt or taking like falls and stuff like that. What you mean?
You falling on the mat. Yeah. Back bump.
Now, have you ever like been hurt? It's probably like a dumb question, but I mean.
Oh, God, yes. Yes. Yeah, I've been to physical therapy 4 or 5 times. My neck and shoulders are just screwed, like, for life. C6 and C7 don't have any cushion left between the bone. Wow. I have arthritis. Yeah, it's pretty bad. I mean, I did a lot of hardcore stuff, too. So I didn't really take care of myself early years.
That's what's crazy is that people, you know, people will drop the word fake. And I've always said, you know, wrestling is not fake. I said, there's nothing fake about, you know, a lot of those bumps and hits that you take. And then Plus, then there's the stuff, the behind the scenes stuff, the stuff that you have no clue what goes on or happens. You know, I always say, you know, I'm like being a magician, you know, is a lot like being a professional wrestler, because, you know, everybody thinks what you do is fake. And every now and then we both get hit with steel chairs. So, at least my show does. So,
oh, God. I need to come watch your show.
You do need to come see my show. You do. Okay. So you talked about, is there a match or a particular match one time that you were in the middle of and then something got hurt and you had to like play it off through the whole match, or anything you can recall?
Every other match. One that stands out was like maybe the second year in my career. I was standing on the third, jumped off to do a crossbody onto a guy, and my right knee just jammed right into the mat, and I was limping. But by God, I finished that match.
So you just kind of, did you go into like acting like you were, I mean, not acting, but like, I'm hurt? Or did you just play it off like you were good, but inside you're like, oh shit, this hurts, you know, type of thing?
My dumbass just played it off like it didn't hurt. Uh-huh. But if I would have been smart, I would have been like to my opponent, hey, you know, strike me in the knee and let me sell my knee for the entire match so I can, you know, make sure this is not permanently damaged. But me being young and trying to be tough, I just carried on.
And but that's usually what they do, right? If they really do get hurt, sometimes that's a way of coping with it, you know, throughout the match, correct?
Yes, correct.
Now, okay, so has there ever been a time that maybe like somebody in the audience maybe went a little overboard with you? Or because that's one thing, like, okay, I've noticed this, like, especially to be a heel, okay? Like when I do my shows, you know, people always ask me, Danny, do you get heckled? And every now and then you'll get a heckler, but I shut them down. And, you know, it's no big deal. But like with wrestling, heckling's a little different. You know what I mean? Because you got somebody, you know, they're really wanting to kill you. They really hate you with, you know, deep down. It's like they hate you, you know, and some of the things they're saying. And they'll spit on you and stuff like that. So, have you had any crazies like that, anything like that towards you?
I couldn't tell you how many times I have had old women pour their bottle of water on me.
Oh, God.
Like, so if I was, like, doing outside stuff outside the ring. What I don't like, because, you know, I mentioned I love children. What I don't like is if I'm at a show and I have adults cussing me and there's, like, a five-year-old sitting next to them.
Yeah.
That right there just, that really makes me mad.
That would be kind of tacky. That would definitely, but I could 100%, I could see it too. I could totally see it.
Some of the kids cussed me out too. So. So I see where you're getting it.
So how many years have you been at this now, Roxanne?
18 years.
18 years! Damn! Yeah. Man, that is crazy.
I'm okay.
She's all right, folks. For you listeners who can't see right now, she's like a stiff board. No, she's all right. She's good, though. That is, God, that is awesome. So what's your finisher right now?
Oh, I've got a couple. There is a submission hold called the Gorilla Clutch.
The Gorilla Clutch. What is, first of all, let's hear about the Gorilla Clutch. If you were to put me in the Gorilla Clutch, what would happen? What would be going on?
You want me to like thoroughly explain it?
Okay. For the listeners.
You're flat on your back.
Okay.
Okay. And I stand over you right in the middle of your body. Okay. And my butt is facing you. Okay. So I'm facing your feet, right?
Uh-huh.
I grab your legs and I put them in a four, okay, like a four. Throw my arms around your legs, flip your body over, fall back, and wrap my legs around your mid-waist.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, you have no choice but to lay there and tap out.
Yeah, that sounds like that would hurt like hell. So that's one of them, okay? So let's hear another one. What's another one like you'd like to do?
The other one is like a neck breaker, but I call it the Roxy Slam.
Okay, cool. A neck breaker. So is that like a, I'm trying to remember the neck breaker. Is that like a, freaking what's his name? Oh my God. Legend Killer.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. How come I can't think of his name?
What is his damn name? There's so many rest-
I know. Come on. Oh my God. I feel like an idiot. I cannot remember his damn name. The Legend Killer, the Viper.
Randy Orton, huh?
Randy Orton, yes. Yes. So so you're coming up and doing that.
And well, he's doing like the RKO. So that is a neck breaker. The way that it happens with me is my opponent goes to give me a clothesline and I kind of just wrap my arm around their arm, twist around, like I wish I could just show you. I end up beside them, throw their arm away, and like short arm clothesline them down, like a hard neck bump.
Okay, cool. All right. She's like, I wish I could just put the net, give you a neck breaker, Danny.
Hey, son, come here.
Well, here, cool. Let's do this. That's interesting. So you do have children, correct?
Yes, I have one 14-year-old.
Okay, you have a 14-year-old. Now, how do they feel about mom being a wrestler? That's got to be crazy. That's got to be cool.
He's always loved it. Always.
Now, does he go to your matches?
Yeah, not as much now because he's a teenager. He wants to be with his friends and on the Xbox and stuff. But, yeah, he's always gone.
And that's pretty cool, like when he tells his friends that his mom's a wrestler.
Yes. So especially when he was younger, but always kind of embarrassed by it.
So he's, you know, that's a thing that is so weird because like I remember my son, he would always kind of like, oh God, please, you know, yes, my dad, you know what I mean? He used to be the same way. So, but that would be crazy though, because not too many people can go, you know, and say, yeah, that's my mom. She's a wrestler. You know, that she's in the ring right now. You know, that's a cool thing. Now, so you just don't wrestle though other women, you do like mixed gender matches too.
Oh yes. I much rather do gender.
So
much rather wrestle.
So has that been a thing forever? Is that something like kinda new or which one's more popular these days?
Well, it just depends on the show I go to or the promoter, because it's kind of a fickle thing. Some promoters don't want the guys hitting a woman, don't want the children to maybe have that going on at home, and then they see it at the entertaining show. But other promoters are like, well, let's do it this way where there's no strikes or whatever. But I grew up in the business wrestling the guys. I'm almost 6 foot, and all the girls I've ever wrestled are like 5 foot. And the guys can pick me up and throw me around and I can do all my fancy stuff with them. But with the girls, they can't pick me up. You know, I can't do all the, I mean, no disrespect to any of the females. I mean, they've helped me out tremendously throughout all of my years. And I love all the girls to death. I just, sometimes I'd rather wrestle the guys. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. There's probably like, you know, some things that you can do and some moves that you can do with them that you can't do with the other females.
Well, of course, I'm so tall.
Yeah. So, okay. That definitely makes sense. Definitely. Now, let me ask you this. Do you catch yourself, do you watch a lot of wrestling? Like whenever you're not working, when you're not wrestling, are you at home? Do you watch WWE or AEW? You know?
No, I don't. Like the only thing that I really watch is when my boyfriend Ray is watching something. We'll watch highlights of stuff going on today. We love Botchamania. Have you ever heard of that?
No. What's Botchamania?
O-M goodness. Okay. When next time you're on YouTube, type in Botchamania. It is all these videos from all these different shows where wrestlers are messing up. It's like, it's so hilarious. Or they're taking a wrong bump and they're getting hurt. Somebody messes up a promo or something. It's hilarious. I think I've been on there once.
Definitely. Then I gotta check that out. But no, I understand. I'm with you because like two things, you know, me being a comedy magician, I'm part comedian, part magician. So, and people ask me, hey, you know, do you ever watch this magic show? Do you watch Penn and Teller? Or have you seen so-and-so stand up? Yada, yada, yada. I'm like, no, you know, I haven't. I don't watch it, you know. And there's a couple reasons why I don't, because a lot of times I don't want anything to kind of pollute my ideas when I kind of come up with stuff. I want to make sure it's all mine, you know, because, you know, sometimes you'll see something and it'll influence you some way, you don't realize it. But it's just, you know, when I'm not that I don't enjoy doing what I do, but when I'm not doing what I do, I want to be doing something else, you know.
Sure. Yeah.
So, I kind of would have thought the same thing. Now, I will tell you one show that I'm really digging, though, on wrestling, and I'm really digging this, is the Dark Side of Wrestling.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
That is so, I mean, so many, gosh, crazy story stuff that, you know, because you remember back in the day, kayfabe was, it was so strong that you never knew anything like this. None of these stories, you know, we would have never have found any of this stuff out, you know.
Right. Good old days.
Yeah, the good old days. So, but I do really dig that. Like, gosh, what was the episode? Man, that New Jack episode. Did you see that one with New Jack?
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Hell, that guy was batshit crazy.
Ooh.
Man, yes. Did you know any of these guys, or have you known any of these guys from that show?
Yes, I got to meet New Jack. So, he was very calm. Oh my God, calm. Like, didn't really talk, just kind of stayed to himself. And he, oddly enough, he was calm during the hardcore match that I watched him in. I was like, okay. But this poor baby, he's too tired. He's had enough.
Gosh, man, I can't imagine the broken bones and beat up those dudes are. Now, you talked about hardcore matches. Have you ever done anything crazy like that, like with barbed wire or anything like, you know, kind of stuff that you have? You've done that stuff? Oh, my God.
Which, that was actually one of the things I wrote down. It was my very first hardcore match that I had. And the very first time that I got to defend it, which was totally two different stories. But my very first hardcore match, I got to wrestle a gentleman. He went by Tennessee Trash. And it was fun. Like, we brought out thumbtacks and chairs, the cookie sheets and stuff. And like, the finish was I took a superplex into thumbtacks. But if you know me, a lot of people know me out there, I am blessed with a big behind. So all of the thumbtacks went into the behind, okay? So my behind absorbed it, right? But there was one little thumbtack decided to be an asshole. It went right into my elbow and hit the bone and curved.
Oh.
And I was like, what's up? So when I took it out, I couldn't take it out like this. I took it out like that. And then Yeah. I mean, when you do that, you got to make sure that you tape up, you know, all your big veins and stuff. So I did that and there was nothing up here. It was just all, I mean.
So, okay. Now, before you do this stuff, like your first hardcore match and stuff like that, do they tell you anything to kind of how to prepare you for what's about to go on? Or is there any type of pep talk, any type of advice that they give you?
Well, for my first one, yes. Things not to do, things that the other guy should have done because he really hurt me. Like when you do a DDT, right? You know what a DDT is?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Dude gave me a DDT onto the steel chair. Mm. And he did not let go of my head. So all of his arm strength and his weight went down on my head right into the chair. I'm surprised it didn't bust me open.
So it was an actual real DDT is basically, yeah.
Yep.
Damn.
Again, I'm okay.
Have you ever ran into guys that are like almost like douchebag dudes that feel like they've got something to prove that they may try to hurt you intentionally a little bit? As creepy as that sounds, basically like this isn't a sport for women type of thing.
Yeah, I can't remember dude's name. I probably shouldn't mention names on here.
Yeah.
But
I don't care. But yes.
Yeah, I'm probably never going to run into these people again anyways. Because I don't travel anymore, really. Gosh, I've done that enough. I went to a show and I wrestled this blonde chick. I'm not going to say her name. And her trainer was there, right? And the entire night, what I do is I kind of sit down and I get a feel of everybody. I listen to everybody, what they're saying. I pay attention and watch the matches and stuff. And I kept looking at this guy and he kept talking about shooting on someone. If this person does this, this is what you need to do to shoot on them to really hurt them if they hurt you. Like, he kept saying that shit to her all night and he would look at me and I'm like, I'm not trying to hurt girl. Like, we're trying to have fun and entertain the paying fans. All night he was doing that. Go out and have a match. We had a pretty good match. She was okay. I was perfect. Anyways, I'm just kidding. Got back to the back and he kissed my ass. Oh my God, that was so good. Blah, 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 blah. And then weeks down the road, he kept messaging me on Facebook. Man, that was such a good match. You need to come to this show. I was like, leave me alone.
Yeah.
Fuck off. You know?
Total dude.
He's a standout, I guess.
Okay. You mentioned like female wrestlers and, you know, like China and Lita, but, let me ask you this, because, you're a professional wrestler, so you should, have a respected opinion on this. But if you had a all-time top five greatest wrestlers, male or female, what is your top five?
Okay, well, we know Lita, of course, to be number one. Stone Cold, The Rock, Roddy Piper.
Oh, God, yeah.
Bret Hart.
Oh, cool. Nice. Threw Bret Hart in there. There we go. The best there was, the best there is, and the best there ever. What?
Ever will be.
Yeah, screwed. Yeah. And I'm having like old man brain or something. I can't remember my wrestling quotes. The freaking, but no Ric Flair in there, huh? Are you just not a Ric Flair fan or?
Well, I am, but he's not the first that comes to mind.
Gotcha. That's cool, man. That's cool. Roddy Piper. I love Roddy Piper. The thing with him is that when I was a kid, I didn't know, you didn't realize how great he was and how awesome he was when we really had him, you know? And
true.
It wasn't till after the fact, when you go back and you look at just how real deal Roddy Piper was. You know what I mean? There was really no bullshit with Roddy Piper.
And, exactly.
I mean, you know, and I don't even want to know. I mean, when you talk about kayfabe, was it really kayfabe with Roddy Piper? Because it was kind of like who he really was, like, even in, like, acting, too. You know what I mean?
It's kayfabe.
Kayfabe. What am I saying?
K-fab.
I don't know. K-fab. All right. Yeah. I have, maybe I can edit that out. Maybe not. Maybe I should keep it in. K-fab. Well, K-fab. It's K-fab or K-fab?
K-fab.
K-fab. K-fab.
Yeah. Yeah, right. I mean, have you seen his documentaries at all?
On Roddy?
Yes.
No, I haven't.
Oh, you need to, man. Because, yes. I mean, everything. Fan is definitely what the documentary shows, how badass he was.
You know, like, I love that movie, They Live.
Yes.
I am
kick ass and chew bubble gum, and I'm all out of bubble gum.
Yeah. I'm a real big fan of that movie. I even got like one of the, I got the They Live alien mask.
So, oh, no.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. I really love that. Well, speaking of movies. There's actually a movie that will be coming out here in the next few weeks. Should be on streaming services everywhere worldwide, Amazon Prime. And I believe, we're both in this movie, but you got a big role in this movie. So tell us about that. Now, was this your first time ever acting in a movie before?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And this was just like total accident because the girl they had before couldn't get a hold of her. She just backed out. She's like, oh, I wonder what Sheena's doing.
Nice. So the movie we're talking about, guys, is WJHCAM. It's a movie that me and Roxanne both will be in. You can see us both in this movie. Now, Roxanne gets to play Cousin Vinny's girlfriend throughout the film. I wanted to be his girlfriend, but apparently I just didn't fit the part. But so tell us about that. Tell us how exciting was that, and you know, what did you think about you know, getting a chance to act in front of the cameras,
people, and everybody in the room. Yeah. I was so ready for it. I've always wanted to be an actress. I wanted to be an actress before I was ever a wrestler. So when he called me and he started talking about this, I'm like, no way. This ain't going to happen. Me? No way. I'm not an actress, but I would love to be. Because, I mean, I've learned a lot from wrestling, actually. Being in front of the camera so much. And the custom world, which is... The brief summary, the custom world is you, another girl, a script, and a camera. It's not a live show. There's no crowd, nothing like that. And you have to go buy a script. Well, the first time I went to Atlanta to do a custom, they taught me how to do facial expressions because that was actually in the script. Like, we had to do silly stuff like crossing eyes and sticking tongue out and acting mad. So in this movie, that's the first thing that Vinny and Luke was like, oh my God, your facial expressions are spot on. I was like, yep, I learned that in wrestling. So I was ready for that.
You know, and that's what I tell people too, is like, you know, what I do is I do the same show night after night after night in front of a different audience, but I'm saying things like it's the first time I'm ever saying it.
Oh, so wow. That's hard.
Oh, I mean, yeah, but there's a sense of acting and there's things that you learn to do on stage that help sell a joke better or help, you know, relate with the audience, help them like you more, you know? So
yeah,
that's why you'll see a lot of comics get into acting and some of them become better drama actors than what, you know, like Robin Williams and stuff, because, you know, it's you're acting on stage. And even though, I mean, you're being yourself, but you're being an extension of yourself, similar to like what you were talking about with wrestling. So yeah. I really enjoyed my part in the film. I thought it was, you know, when I read the script, I was like, this is funny. This is funny. I really, you know, I don't throw that around easily either, you know, because I've read scripts before. And I've seen people who wrote scripts and they're trying to be funny. And I'm just like, this is tough. Gosh, this is garbage. It doesn't. But Vinny knew what he was doing because Vinny knew how to get to the funny quick. He, you know, in the story, it's a good story, you know. And I think people who, I keep saying this, it's like, you know, it picks fun of the silly things about Christianity, but it's not putting Christianity down. You know,
right. That's what I respected about it. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's got a great happy ending, you know, and I don't want to give any spoilers away, but it's got a great happy ending. Jesus is the man, you know, so it's a good movie and it's a good comedy horror movie. It's good. And your part, though, is absolutely, you know, what was that like being the because you really had to play the bad guy. I don't want to give spoilers to our movie. I don't want to give spoilers to our movie, but there is a part to where you get evil, you get mean. So that was fun. I can only imagine that was fun, right?
Yes. And filming that, like, funny story. This is not a spoiler, so I can. Well, would it be a spoiler? No. Okay. I'll make it to where it's not. There's a fight scene and they have to use the statue, Jesus. Okay. The Jesus statue. We're in the room watching this and, oh crap. I've only met him twice. I can't remember his name.
Which one?
But, the fight scene with Vinny.
Okay. Okay.
In the garage.
I remember you. Yeah.
Young man. He's another. Do you remember his name?
Wait a minute. It's you. I remember the when the fight scene. I just remember you and Vinny in the scene. Is there somebody else in the scene though?
Yeah, there's another fight scene.
Well, with you and Vinny, but or you and somebody else?
No, Vinny and this guy, but I can't think of his name. He's a wrestler too. He's a young man.
Travis?
No.
No, not no Travis. Travis.
He was at the premiere too with his wife.
Oh my gosh.
He wore the hat with the bill that was in the overalls.
Okay, I do not know your name, dude, but hey, we're talking about you. So there we go.
I'm so sorry. I'm awful. There's like 50,000 people in this movie.
There's a lot of people.
Well, there was a part where he had hit, like Vinny threw the statue of Jesus, right? And it stuck to his head. And when he took it off, he slung it and it hit the floor and broke. And this statue has been in Luke's family for a long time.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Like I watched this whole thing happen. And because, you know, Luke said throw it down, but dude thought he meant like legit throw it down. But Luke was like, Luke meant something else. So, but like when he took it, like it was on his hat, when he slung it off of his hat, it's like there's a metal part on the statue. And all you heard was thing, like it was the most perfect sound effect, right? I don't know if you can hear it on the movie or not. We'd have to go back and watch it. But I was like marking out for that. Marking out is another wrestling term, meaning just so excited about something. And when they said cut, I was like, yeah, that was awesome. And Luke's like, no, it fucking wasn't. I was like, oh God, what's wrong? You know? And then Tracy was like, he broke the statue. I was like, oh, I'm going to go hide in the corner now. Like, I feel so stupid right now.
So,
oh man, that awful.
How long did it take you guys to shoot your scene? How long did you guys have to redo those? Or did you have to do a lot of shoots?
No, they come up here to the house once, and then I went to Knoxville once. Didn't really. Not long at all. Just a couple hours each time.
You know, my scene was so... I thought it was going to take longer. But, you know, me and my buddy, my friend Marlon, he's an extra in the scene there. He's the one that gives the real, probably one of the best actors, acting faces, of having the shit scared out of him look. But, I mean, I was like, this may take a few hours, maybe here for a while, get there. And, you know, Vinny was just like, hey man, go ahead and do some ad-libbing and some improv and, you know, and I was like, shit, damn, you know, because I was looking at my script. I was like, God, I don't want to screw this up. I don't want to screw this up, you know? And he's like, man, just go with it. Just give me some improv and, you know, and boom, did it. We were done and that was easy, you know? And I was like, damn, that was quick and that was easy, but absolutely. I can't wait to see the movie again, to see the final cut of it. And definitely looking forward to it, but it's a good movie. I keep telling people it's a good movie. And you know, at my shows, I pitch the movie, you know, I'm telling people like, this is going to be out. So, people at my shows are excited, you know, can't wait to see it. So, you know, I think we'll have a pretty large audience when this thing does finally come out to the world.
Absolutely.
So now what do you think? Do you think you've got the acting bug now? Do you think you'll want to do any more movies or anything else?
Oh, I've tried. Yeah. Like I've filled out applications and auditions and stuff like that. I would absolutely love to keep going and get bigger and bigger and bigger and like never look back at wrestling again.
Well, but definitely. Well, I think you did a fantastic job in the movie.
Thanks.
I think you were great. So let's do this, okay? On the Abracadam podcast, we ask, and we've already heard some crazy stories already, but do you have a good hell gig story for the listeners?
As in wrestling, right?
In wrestling, yes.
I wrote down a few. I don't, I mean, I could, you want me to tell you how much time we got left? I don't even know.
Oh, we got a little bit of time, but feel,
okay.
Feel free to, let loose. Let's hear some good ones.
Let's see. All right. When you know who Too Cold Scorpio is? WCW.
Scorpios. I do. I think so. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Okay. I was in a stable called DRI, and we were inmates. We wore the orange jumpsuits and everything. Well, Jason Max got to wrestle Too Cold Scorpio. Scorpio flew into us. We were in Knoxville, and he lost his luggage. He lost his gear and everything. Like, it got lost from, you know, the flight. So when he finally got to show up, he had to wrestle in his slacks, man. Like, oh, man. It was horrible. Bless his heart. But, like, this story stands out because Jason got so hurt. Too Cold Scorpio did a moonsault onto Jason. But when he landed, his shins landed right on Jason's face and broke his face. Like, he had to have surgery. He had a concussion and everything that night.
Damn.
Oh, yeah. He was in the back throwing up. I was scared to death. We went to the hospital, and that stupid hospital, oh, you don't have a concussion. Yeah, he did. And it was bad, even like surgery bad.
God, that would, yeah. Now, have you had any, now you've had concussions, all right?
No.
Oh, you haven't. Okay.
No, thank you, Jesus. I have never had a concussion. I have from a car wreck, but never in wrestling.
Yeah. Cause yeah, concussions suck. I've had one, and they definitely, they're not fun to go with. So Jason, you said, was Jason Scorpio? Was that somebody else?
Jason Max. Was
okay.
Wrestling to oh, okay. Scorpio.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Definitely a bad one. We got another one. You got another one for us?
Oh yeah. I've got like, I want to say it's a shoot match. Remember what shoot means?
Shoot means like, is it real?
Real, yes. Me and my tag team partner, Tiffany Rocks, at the time we were called the Rockettes. We actually got in trouble for calling ourselves the Rockettes. We got an email from a lawyer in New York, like the real Rockettes lawyer.
Really? Come yes! on. God.
Yes. And Tiffany got mad at first. I was like, Tiffany, don't get mad that we're getting recognized. Like, don't even do this. Anyways, we were in a match in Georgia. And this girl that I have not seen this girl since. We were wrestling and Tiffany elbowed her. She was in the corner and she wasn't even tagged in. Me and Tiffany were the bad guys, the heels. So she was hitting the girl. She's in the ring with her opponent. And then she went over to the other girl that was on the outside, gave her an elbow. Well, this girl thought Tiffany hit her with all of her force. So she got pissed off and she got in the ring and was trying to shoot on Tiffany, trying to really hit her and hurt her. Tiffany got the best of her. And then Tiffany looked at me and she's like, get her. So this girl had really big boobs. So I come running in and I grab her boobs and I just push up and I almost push her out of the ring. Right. So me and Tiffany just kind of double teaming on her. Tiffany grabbed her by the hair and threw her outside the ring. Try to get her to calm the fuck down. Cause I mean, you know, this is entertainment, right? This is not supposed to be some MMA fight. So, there was a couple more, you know, blows, really some really good hits and the match ends. She goes to the back. Me and Tiffany stay out, healing out with the crowd, running our mouth to the crowd and just get them up. And, there's a woman out in the crowd, an older woman. She had a cane. She was like almost cussing at me and Tiffany, right? And we just kept going at it. This woman poked me with her cane. And I was like, oh no, she didn't. So I grabbed this woman's cane and I yank it out of her hand. Cause that's like one of the rules in wrestling. We don't touch the fans better not touch us and they better not get in that ring because they're getting their ass whooped for real. Like they're going to have a damn gurney take them out. So when she hit me, that's the very first time a fan has ever made any contact with me at all. I lost my shit. When I drug that when I yanked it from her, that cane went in about 5 different pieces. It slung all over the place, right? So me and Tiffany, I mean, this woman, security came. I mean, the crowd got so mad. Me and Tiffany had to run to the back because it was about to be a huge mob on me and her, right? I think that's the maddest I ever got somebody. We got back to the back and we had a real shoot fight with that girl. Her and Tiffany were punching each other and just going at it. Tiffany's husband, Johnny Rock, grabbed her, threw her and set her down. You need to stop now. And then that other girl ran her mouth and said something else. And I come like Roman Reigns from the other side of the damn room, Superman punch, and just got this girl square in the jaw, grabbed her by the hair. And I said, don't you ever come back to the show again or ever get back in professional wrestling. And I have not seen her since.
God, so, that is crazy.
Now that woman with the cane, she was actually the grandmother of the woman that was doing the concession. She met me outside and I thought she was going to run me over with her car, but she gave me a hug and told me how much she had, how much fun that she had. And she's not had that much fun in many years. I was like, "Are you okay?"
And that was in Georgia.
That was in Dalton, Georgia. Yeah.
Dalton, Georgia. Yes. The carpet capital of the world, ladies and gentlemen. Dalton, Georgia. I have to say that every time I drive through Dalton, Georgia, I look at Antoinette, my wife, and I say, the carpet capital of the world. Y'all are crazy. So you're married, correct? You have a husband or boyfriend?
No, just a boyfriend. Yeah.
Boyfriend. Okay. Is he a wrestler?
Yes.
Okay. So now, does that work pretty well with each other? Both you guys being wrestling, do you work on some of the same gigs, some of the same shows and stuff?
Oh, yeah. We only do shows together because we don't really don't do much anymore.
Yeah.
I met him when I was 18.
Gosh. And,
yeah.
So you guys have been together that long?
No. We've not been together that long. We've just known each other that long. We just, you know, we went our separate ways and I got married, had a kid. He had a few kids and then boom, all of a sudden, I've always liked you. Why didn't you tell me this when I was 18?
That's super cool. Well, I'll tell you what, let's do this, Roxanne. On the Abracadam podcast, every guest, we get to do a magic trick for. Bum, okay. Bum, bum, bum. All right, this is what I'm going to do. First of all, do you believe in mind reading?
Do I believe in mind reading?
Do you believe in mind reading?
Yes.
All right, because I'm going to try to get in there and redecorate, sister. I'm going to try to read your mind. I'm going to try to get in your head. What I'm going to do is I'm going to hold some cards up to the camera. I want you to think of just one of these cards. Just think of one. Don't say it. Just get it in your head and just think of one of these cards. Do you have it?
Yep.
You got one. Make sure you get it right, too, because if you screw this up, I sound like an idiot. Okay. You got it. Okay. All right. Don't forget. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to lose the cards in the deck. Here we go. I'm going to try to do this. I'm going to try to cut the deck. Nah, this is tough. Definitely tougher than it looks. I tell you what, I'm going to cut right here. Okay. I'm going to cut right here. I'm obligated. I can't get out of this. I cannot get out of this. So for the first time, for the Abracadam listeners, what is the card you're only thinking of?
I have to tell you what the card?
Say it out loud so they can hear it.
I have to say it out loud.
Say it out loud.
Seven of spades.
Seven of spades?
Yes.
Oh, God. I don't know. I don't know if this is going to work. Seven of spades. That's crazy because right here, I've got the seven of spades.
Awesome.
Kind of cool. All right. So let's do this before we get out of here. First of all, this has been a blast. I've really enjoyed this conversation. I have.
Thank you.
Where can the listeners though learn more about you? Where can they catch some shows, stuff like that?
Oh, I have got every social media out there. Sheena Roxanne Lane on Facebook. I actually wrote it down.
Yay!
I should have made it fancy and just hold it up to the hold it up to the camera. Okay. My Instagram is Sheena Roxanne Lane, also underscore in between. Snapchat, Sheena Lane. The Lane is LAYNE, not LANE. Twitter is at Roxy85, which is ROCKC85. TikTok, Sheena Lane 73. I also have my own business. It's called Custom Vixens.
And well, I'll tell you what, let's hear a little more about Custom Vixens, because yeah, I have seen about that. Let's hear about that real quick before we get out of here. Tell us about that.
I just started it a few months ago, so it's at a slow start, but it's picking up. It's where you can get on a website and say, I want this female against this female. Here's the script. Here's the wrestling moves I want to see. Here's who I want to win. Here's my money. And then they get their match later through, you know, through the internet, through an email. So it's really good money, and it's really fun, a chance to meet all kind of different females, even males. I have males on my custom shoot sometimes too.
That is super cool. And that's Custom Vixens. Is it .com?
Yeah, it's CustomVixensWrestling.com.
CustomVixensWrestling.com. Well, I tell you what, Roxanne, Sheena, or Roxy, whichever one you want to go by, this has been a blast. I've really enjoyed talking with you. I would love to have you on again. And I know you said you're not doing a lot of those road shows much anymore, but next match, I may have to come see a show. Thank you so much for coming on the Abracadabra Podcast. This was fun.
Thank you.
All right, Abracadabra. I hope you enjoyed that episode with Roxanne Lane. That was cool, man. Really cool stories. Hold on. Kayfabe. I think I got it. Anyways, if you will, be sure to go over and check out her website at CustomVixensWrestling.com. Some pretty cool things. Maybe you can book a show there. So it would be pretty cool. Something to see. Book one of her shows. If you guys have not done so yet, please be sure to subscribe, follow, like the Abracadam Podcast. Share it with your friends. Tell everybody. And if you would like to be a Patreon for the Abracadam Podcast, head over to Patreon and check out some of the little packages that we have. And like always, Abracadamits, thank you for listening.
It's awesome.
Will you please stop freaking barking at my kid's birthday party?